What's up, everybody, and welcome into the Under the Hood podcast. I'm Jay Hood, along with my crazy cousin, Kozo Wiley. He is back from his excursion. This guy right here, he is back from his excursion from India, if you can believe that. Not Indiana. I know I was thinking the same thing, too. It was like, oh, he's going to Gary. He's been there before. No. He actually went overseas. And Kozo, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How you feeling, Kozo?
It's good. It's good to see you. It's good to see you. It's been too long. We've had the podcast. We had CJ sit in for you.
I saw.
Yes.
I watched. Yes.
Yeah. That's when you've made it, by the way, when someone sits in for you. So that's when you made it, man. It's like, well, he can't be replaced, but you know, it was breaking news. So we had CJ come in. We appreciate him being on the podcast. By the way, as you tune in on Facebook as well as Twitch and on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, leave your comments as well, because we got a lot to talk about here on this edition of the Under the Hood podcast. But as always, Kozo, as you see on the bottom of the screen, if you're watching, we've always got not just the podcast, not just YouTube, not just Twitch, not just Facebook, but we also have merchandise.
Yes, we have merchandise. Right here, we have our great Under the Hood water bottle. And with summer approaching, maybe in Chicago,
yep.
You want to quench your thirst, you know, and keep your water or favorite beverage cold, you need this Under the Hood water bottle. Get yourself a couple for the summer. You will thank yourself later. So get yourself an Under the Hood water bottle. And, you know, if you're from the Chicago area, as I've said a couple of times, it's pretty solid. Nice weapon to have around Chicago, just in case, you know. We call it a blank beater, but, you know, that's a
different show. Non-violent.
Right. And my favorite, the Under the Hood tumbler. Mine came with the cash in there. Yours may too. But even with summer approaching, you still want to have yourself, you know, the Under the Hood tumbler, because when you go inside your cubicle or you step inside your, you know, shop or your office,
yes,
you want your favorite beverage in the morning, spice up a little bit. It helps the day go back quicker. Get yourself an Under the Hood tumbler. Yours may come with the cash as well. You know, I can't guarantee it, but, you know, mine's did.
Family only.
Oh, okay. Well, your family. You've been with Hood for 30 years, so
yes.
Your family as well. And the favorite smells like spices.
Spices, you said. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, spices. Get yourself the a couple of the Under the Hood t-shirts. As I said before, take a couple of photos in your shirts or with your water bottle tumbler. And share those photos online with Hood. You know, let him know that you're supporting his brand as he's so entertained and supported you for the past 30 years. Get yourself Under the Hood t-shirts. They come in a variety of colors. Get yourself a few and walk around Chicago with them on, or the suburbs, or Gary. And take some photos in them and share them with Cousin Hood.
Yes. Well, we appreciate that. The link tree is on the bottom. If you're listening, it's linktree.com/jhoodradio. Just check it out for yourself. The merchandise link is right there. Check it out for yourself. Well, we've got plenty to discuss, Kozo. I mean, while you're gone, the NFL draft takes place. The White Sox finally won 3 games in a row for a 100-loss ball club. It's not bad.
Right.
But first, let us talk about where you've been. Let's talk about this, because you've been away for a while. You love to take these excursions. So please tell people where you've been.
So I went to India for a couple of weeks. You got to recharge the battery a little bit. You know, it got to get away, recharge the battery, you know, and had a lot of fun. So if you're into hairy monkeys, you know, it's a great place to be. Great place to be if hairy monkeys is your thing, you know.
I'm sorry, did you say hairy monkeys? Is that what you said?
Yeah, hairy monkeys. It's like an acquired taste or something like that. But it's all around.
you didn't spend that much time to come back and tell us about Hairy Monkeys.
Well, I did a lot of sightseeing.
Uh-huh.
A lot of touristy stuff, and you know, met some nice people while I was there. Very nice people.
Could you explain what this is right here?
That is the Taj Mahal right there.
Uh-huh.
So that's, I went to Agra to see that as well. Went up to Kufri to get a look at the Himalayas, and pretty much went everywhere in Delhi and New Delhi. So had a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun.
The Himalayas. What was our first name? You said you went to go see the Himalayas.
Candy.
That's a hell of a name. Okay. The Candy Himalayas, you said that's where you went. Yes. Okay. All right. So what did you learn about your time in India, Cuzzo?
So I learned, and I mean this respectfully.
Of course.
So I am an ambiguous brown skin guy, I guess, because you know they thought I was Asian while I was there. It was like, oh, are you from this country or that country? And it's like, no, from America. America? Yeah, America. So that was I guess they don't see many people who look like me. So it's like, oh, okay. But that was so I had the funniest one was I was in a museum, and while there was like a field trip for like a school or something, and this young man was so excited to see me, like I was a celebrity. He turned around, ran up to me, and waved and stuck out his hand. I was like, "What do I do?" You know. So I took a step back and was like, you know, how you doing? But he was like so excited, like I was a celebrity or something. I was like, oh, this is nice right here. This is nice. And you know, you have your the great people come, you know, to India for work, you know, they come along and you know they sit at the bar after their work, and you know, it's have some great conversations, some interesting conversations. So I enjoyed myself a lot.
There's a lot to get to. There's a lot to unpack there with that trip. Okay, so.
And.
Yes.
So the Indian whiskey, I understand why there are hairy monkeys because of the Indian whiskey. It's, it's a little strong, a little strong.
So the audience, and so I'm clear. The Indian monkeys that you saw were not at the zoo, correct?
They were not at the zoo. Not at all. Not at all. There's stray monkeys everywhere. Stray monkeys everywhere.
At the club?
At the bar.
At the bar? Okay. I don't understand why you say it like
on the streets.
Okay. All right. Just walking. You're just saying that they were stray hairy monkeys just walking around. Just
stray hairy monkeys. Like,
available, you're saying.
Available
for people to come up and pet.
Yes. You probably want to ask first before you just pet a random monkey, but you know, they were there.
I don't know why I'm playing the $1,000 pyramid with you. I don't understand why what we're doing here. I don't know what you're saying, but I think the audience knows what you're saying. Okay. All right. Because we know Cuzzo's in the room too, so we can't really go into it. Is there, maybe there is a different section of the podcast we could talk about this, like under the hood after dark. Can we talk
after
about
dark,
that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So then you'll reveal what's going on there. Could you hold up that Indian whiskey for me? By the way, what's the brand on that?
Thigrams, but it's called Royal Stag. So let me get a little close. Royal Stag. Uh-huh. So I had this, I was curious. One, I was like, they had, you know, a variety of whiskey that I would normally drink, but I wanted to, you know, test out the local flavors. So it's like, what's native here? And so, yeah. Oh, we have this right here. It's Royal Stag. I was like, oh, okay. Let me taste a little bit of that. And I was like, oh, this is whiskey, huh? And I'm somebody who, you know, we grew up where you had alcohol in your formula, you know. So
that's correct.
They shake up the formula, put a little whiskey in there. So I've been drinking whiskey since I was born, but it's a little stronger than I anticipated. It's like, oh, okay, this is different. Yeah.
And by the way, for our new viewers, and I think people know what Wiley's telling you is, you know, when he talks about, you know, alcohol in the formula, listen, that's correct. That's part of the family tradition. Yes. You start with this a little drop, just yes. to go make us go to sleep, and yes. then it's just in your bloodstream for the rest of your life.
Yes, it builds up the immune system to it. Yes, where you know.
Okay, is there anything else that you'd like to tell us? Did you find the telecenter? Did you find out why, you know, why they call us so often to try to sell us things?
So here's what I can say. I can say after spending a couple weeks there, I have no problem understanding any phone calls I ever get again.
Okay.
I was able to clearly understand everyone after about the first week, because at first it was like, hey, you know, just slow down just a little bit. It's like, oh, okay, I got it. I had to pull out my handy book. It's like, oh, well, what was that word? You said again. Oh, okay, I got you.
Did you say handy book? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I had a trusty handy book with me just in case.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah, you got to be able to speak the language. But truthfully, most of the people you're going to interact with, for the most part, were people who were in the hotel, and they were, if they were of Indian descent, they were from a different part of the country. They were either vacationing or they were at a work conference. But a lot of the people in my hotel were from like Spain and other European countries. So it was, you know, fun.
Yeah. Fun.
Fun.
Hard period on that fun, by the way. Hard period. You were done. Fun.
It's fun. Yeah.
I can't wait for the After Dark podcast. I'd like to know exactly how hairy were those monkeys. I'm very interested right now. this is just amazing. Curtis Jackson's checking in as always. Yes, that's right, Curtis. A brand new drink.
Yes.
I'd be a sponsor, by the way. And by the way, were you speaking... When you're talking to the good people of India about the Under the Hood podcast, maybe that's why the little kid ran up to you, recognizes a cousin Wiley from the podcast.
Right. Maybe that's what it was. So I imagine after a few conversations with the great people in India, there could possibly be, you know, at least one sponsor just from those conversations. So, yeah, it was we had that much fun while we were over there. So,
oh my God. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you came back safely. That's one thing. By the way, how long was that? What's that? what was that? what was that? What was that word? Yeah,
it was about 14, 15 hours. And that was just from New York. So I had to fly to New York to fly there. So, I guess total flight time was about 17, 18 hours. Yeah.
And you'd say it's worth it, right?
Oh, it's definitely worth it. Yes. It's definitely worth it. You know.
Would you recommend for me to go to India sometime?
You? No. You know.
Oh, really? Why not me?
I would say if there are people who are happily available, that is a great country to visit. I mean, if you're married, that it's fine as well. You know, you take your spouse, you know, you do the touristy spaces, but I wouldn't want to stay for 2 weeks if I was married. I would just want to do the tourist stuff and then head right back home. But if you got a little extra time and you're, you know, and you're available, it's probably not a bad place to be.
I mean, like you.
Like me?
Yeah, available, you know, available. I mean,
maybe, yeah.
You didn't only just namaste, you namaste for 2 weeks. You namaste for 2 weeks.
You know, I just wanted to soak in the culture.
Oh, I bet you did. Soak it in. Yeah, I bet you did soak it in. Yeah, yeah. I bet you.
You see a lot of third eyes. So you want to see, you can like.
Oh, my God.
Spray the third eye.
I don't think I want to see the third eye. That's fine. Thank you very much for that. All right. So now we move on. Now we have Cousin Wiley back, by the way, bringing back new material from India, by the way. And I'll ask you this one last thing. Is there a word that you picked up? A word that's of that?
None that I will hold on to other than namaste, because everyone does it. You know, when they see you, so it's one of those, you bow, you know, so that's about it.
So you're over there, you never even learned the language.
I did. I knew enough to ask for help or something. And then I had like because I got a friend who was from the country. So usually when I visit a different country, especially if the language is different, I try to learn enough to get me by if I need some help. And they were like, you don't need to learn the language because pretty much everyone speaks English.
Yeah.
So you'll be fine, you know, in most places because most people speak English. It's like, okay, fine. But there were pockets that didn't speak English. So I still had the book I could flip through and was like, oh, this word right here. And then you had the Google translation. So that didn't hurt either. So overall, I didn't need to know anything except English.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Pretty much, I guess when you are, you know, have those dollars out, that kind of money out, I guess that's all you need to know. You don't need to know the language when you're just putting the money out, right?
Oh, that never hurts, but you're always, you're always haggling over price because, you know, like they're trying to.
All right.
They're trying to get you. Okay, they're always trying to get you. So you got to.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's fine. Thank you. That's usually the case, Wiley. Usually it's, you know, everything's fine. You just are haggling over price.
Always haggling over price.
Yeah. Okay. My God. Who knows, folks? I mean, here's the thing. Like, this is my family. I mean, he just kind of just goes away for 2 weeks, just leaves. And all of a sudden, he's on the top of a Himalaya. Several of them, apparently. We turn now to the draft. Yes, I remember it just like it was yesterday. Mitchell Trubisky and Justin Fields. Trubisky is supposed to be the guy. Justin Fields is supposed to be the guy. And now it's Caleb Williams, Cuzzo. And you have the garb on. It is Kwanzaa come early for you.
As yes,
you are wearing the Caleb Williams USC jersey, and it is Christmas for you. You've come back to the country, the good old USA. And we'll read your comments, by the way, whether you're on Facebook, on Twitch, or on YouTube. We'll read your comments. Now that you've come back to the United States, Caleb Williams officially a Chicago Bear.
It's Christmas in April, Hood. I have not been this excited about. Give me 1 second. Hold on. Rocky.
Don't forget, Rocky, by the way, is our is the mascot.
Yeah, we want you to stay the mascot, Rocky. So I want to need you to stop whatever it is that you're trying to do right now.
What is Rocky doing? Could you describe?
He's
yes. Does he remind you of India?
That's what he's trying to do.
Does he remind you of India at all?
Yes,
that's what's happening.
Yes, that's why I had to pause for a second because, yes.
Well, if you listen, I want you to get up and take care of it. Whatever it is, just get up and go ahead. We'll have time.
He's excited. You know,
if you need a moment to handle that, go ahead. Otherwise, we'll continue.
He understood. He doesn't speak, but he understands. So, we got it.
So, but, Rocky the mascot, just like his dad, always on top of it. Yeah. Always on top of things. You were saying.
I haven't been as excited about a Bears season in probably since 18, but I haven't been excited about the future of the Bears ever. Because, you know, like, we're used to pop-up seasons. Like, we'll have a great pop-up season here, great pop-up season there. But looking at what Ryan Poles has put together, I am excited about the future. And I'm going to be honest with you, because Caleb spoke on it too. He was like, you know, basically like, why half-ass it? I'm going all in on this season. Like, there's no, well, I hope we can do this. You know, we may be, no, fuck that shit. Like, we're talking playoffs. I'm hoping for a deep playoff run, you know, but definitely playoffs, winning the division, and having sustained success. Like, we're not talking about pop-up seasons. We're not talking about any of that shit. We're talking about having a good decade run, you know, and I'm excited about what we put together. Like, even fucking Tory Taylor. We got a guy who can kick a ball a fucking country mile. You know, what's the Tribe Called Quest? You know, it's like, can I kick it?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
Yes, you can. Like, so all around, you look at this team, and it's built for sustained success. So I'm excited about what the season is going to bring us and what the future is going to bring us as a Bears fan, because we're not talking about, like I said, we're not talking about pop-up seasons. We're talking about sustained success. So what was your reaction on draft day, Hood, when you saw us be able to land Romo Doomsday to go along with Caleb Williams?
I was excited. And on our screen right now is the entire draft class for the Chicago Bears. That's what's on our screen right now on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Twitch. Caleb Williams, Romo Doomsday, Tyron Agamajay, the offensive tackle from Yale, Tory Taylor, the punter from Iowa, and Austin Booker, defensive end from Kansas. So, Cuzzo, let me just tell you. So, watching the draft, we all knew that Caleb Williams was going to be the quarterback. But it came down to this. Would a wide receiver be available at 9? And as I mentioned a couple of days ago on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, I said this. I said, sometimes, Cuzzo, you need to have a break, right? It's one thing to be able to draft well, have quality free agents, but ultimately it comes down to getting a break. You got two breaks out of this. One break is that Lovie Smith helped you in a big way by hooking up with DJ Moore for the number one pick. Hey, the Texans didn't have to win that game, but they did. And that opened a door for the number one pick, and that parlays into DJ Moore. The second break is that the Atlanta Falcons, and next time I'm there, I will be throwing all kind of money at the stripper poles, extra money at the stripper poles, just more glitter, more baby oil. I'm going to give them everything they need. I'm going to send them a case of, you know why? Because Atlanta took a quarterback, not just a quarterback, but a quarterback that's been banged up in a big way, right? And so that opened a door for Doomsday at 9. I go, and even the Bears were surprised. Even the Bears were surprised. They're like, Atlanta, they're going to have Kirk Cousins will have another young weapon. They'll have a Doomsday, which made sense, all the sense in the world for Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. When they took Michael Penix, Atlanta, I said, the door is open for a Doomsday. And plus, the story that came out is that a Doomsday and Caleb Williams were on the same flight together going to Detroit. They were kicking it. They were kicking it. And it was kind of like, hey, man, all the best of luck to you. You know, we're in the same draft class. You know, we're good. And then come to find out he's his teammate. They didn't know. But Atlanta opened the door. So my point is that, yes, you have to draft well. Yes, you have to hit a free agency. But sometimes you need some luck too.
And to your point, it started with Santa Lovie. And, you know, as I think I shared with you before, you had the Texans hire Lovie as a lame duck. And then they're getting ready to fire him. And they tell him to go to work, you know, when he knows he's basically fired. So, like any smart black man, he goes to work and he says, fuck this job, you know. And
oh, it's me every day.
Yeah.
but only difference is I keep coming back. But go ahead. You were saying? Go ahead.
You're gonna ask me to do this job when you know you're going to fire me tomorrow. You know, I got something for you. okay, we're going to go. We're going to have Davis Mills go down there and beat that ass.
Yeah.
Fourth and 20, fourth and 10, two-way conversion. We're going to win this meaningless-ass game to set my former team up with the number one pick. And the number one pick has been a godsend because from that, we have been able to, you know, just rebuild the roster overnight. And again, if you're a Bears fan and you are a person of faith, when you lay down tonight, you know, make sure you say a good word for Lovey. You know, thank whoever your God is for Lovey, because without Lovey, we would not be here today with this chance to have sustained success. So thank you, Santa Lovey.
It opens the door when you have DJ Moore on one side, and then you have Keenan Allen on the other, and then you have Roma Dunze.
Yes.
You leave no doubt if you're Ryan Poles. You leave no doubt. I said a couple days ago on ESPN, I said, I don't give a fuck about your draft board. Like right. Someone individual's draft board. Like, how come they didn't take my guy? How come they didn't take my guy? How come they didn't take my guy? Like, these are the people usually don't watch not one game of college football. I'm not saying that everyone's got to be able to be invested on Saturdays like I am, because I love college football even more so than the NFL. I love, you know me, you know how much I love my college football Saturdays, right? But the point is, though, Cuzzo, is that it's not about your board. It's about Ryan Poles doing something completely different. It is not the same old Bears. I can't say – I'm not going to sit in here and guarantee on Under the Hood that the Bears are going to be a perennial playoff team or Super Bowl team next year. But what I can say is that this is completely different than before. I want you to think about the previous seasons, right? I wrote this down preparing for the show this morning about how completely different the philosophy is with the Bears. I want you to think about the last time you saw a 1-2 punch, not just the quarterback, but also a weapon early in the draft for the Chicago Bears. It's hard to find. You go back and you look at Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze in this draft. Is it the same as Justin Fields and Tevin Jenkins in 2021? It's not.
No.
Is it the same as Mitch and Adam Shaheen, the tight end, in 2017? No. It's not.
No.
Is it the same thing as Christopher Williams? I'm dreaming. No. Is it the same as Christopher Williams and Matt Forte in 2008? It's not. Is it the same as Sed Benson and Mark Bradley? I believed in Sed Benson as a running back in 2005, but Mark Bradley as a wide receiver? No.
Second round pick? No.
Yeah. Is it the same as Michael Haynes and Rex Grossman in 2003? It's not the same. So my point is that this is the first time in my lifetime that the Bears are like, we got Caleb Williams, and we got a wide receiver to go along with them. Look at the past drafts, Cuzzo, and look at how the infrastructure was wonky, or the whole thing with Mitch, in which John Fox didn't even know that they were drafting a quarterback. Like, at least everyone's on the same page.
Hood, when Mitch came to the league, it was so bad. The talent around him was so bad that you can look this up, so I kid you not. Every wide receiver he played with in his rookie year was out of the NFL the next season. Not on a different team, out of the fucking league. How do you draft a quarterback and give him players, a supporting cast that's so bad that they don't have a job the following year? Now, if you have Fields come in, and I know Allen Robinson was still a decent wide receiver, but Allen Robinson quit playing football once he didn't get a contract. So you can't even count him as being a wide receiver, because he was like, hey, I ain't got a contract. So this route, I'm going to run it, but I ain't going to run it at full speed. So we've given rookie quarterbacks shit around them the entire time I can remember. And you got Caleb Williams coming in right now, and I think as a fan, with arguably the most offensive talent the Bears have ever had in the history of the franchise. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know you have, like, you don't have anyone like a Peyton or anyone like a Hall of Famer on the roster at this point right now. But when you look at the roster overall, when it comes to the skill positions, this is the most talented Bears that they've ever had, especially at the receiver position, from DJ Moore to Keenan Allen to Roma Dunze. And then you got Cole Kmet at tight end and Gerald Everett as at the other tight end. And then you got Swift coming out of the backfield. Every one of those guys can catch the ball. So when they're on the field, they're all threats. And I think when you give a rookie that chance to succeed, you're going to have a guy who's probably going to play well. Now that doesn't mean that you won't have rookie groin pains, because you probably will, but he's going to have a better chance to succeed than he had in college. Hood, his best receiver was drafted in the seventh round. Best receiver drafted in the seventh round, and it probably was a charity case because his father's Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
Like, what if his name was Jones? He's probably not getting drafted at all. So Caleb Williams is coming to a situation where the offensive line is better than what he had in college. The skill positions are better than what he had in college. So I think, kind of like a Brock Purdy, he should hit the ground running because he's not running for his life now. He has guys who can get open now, where he doesn't have to wait and buy time to get a guy open. So I'm expecting immediate success. Also knowing that as a rookie, you're probably going to struggle a little bit, but I'm expecting immediate success. I'm expecting, like I said, I'm expecting a playoff team who has a chance to win a game or two, hopefully more than that. It's a great time to be a Bears fan.
Andrew says, why is everyone so hyped about the Bears? They haven't played a snap together. They look good on paper. What about the field? Well, Andrew, do you want the season to start on April 29th? See, here's where you're missing it. Here's where you're missing it. It's not about what's on paper. It's about the process of how they're able to build this thing. See, you've seen bad Bears teams before. And right, and by the way, you want to be pessimistic about the Bears in 2024, go right ahead. But you're missing it because ultimately you think about teams in the past of the Bears and how they built their franchise. It was so ass backwards. It was as ass backwards. And here's the difference. The head coach is empowered, even though I'm not a fan of Eberflus. He's empowered. You have a general manager that has put together this team sonically. You went from you tanked it. That's number one. When's the Bears ever tanked the season? We've had a lot of shitty Bears teams. But as far as a team that was completely tanking, we haven't seen that before. And so that's the difference. That's one. Number two, you look at the team going from 3 wins to 7 wins. That's an improvement. And then you go from what they were able to do, not just the draft aside. Have you seen the depth chart?
Right.
I mean, look, all I'm telling you is that when's the last time that the Bears had four weapons on offense? When's the last time they had 4 weapons on offense? As far as DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen, and what they have with the tight end and Cole Kmet. Also adding Gerald Everett.
Yeah.
When you look, and Andrew, you say, well, you know, they have a shitty offensive line. Actually, they don't have a shitty offensive line. Actually, they don't. Here's what I can tell you. And again, you don't have to believe me. It's right there on Google. Google.com. Look at where the offensive line was at the beginning of the season, where it was at the end. And because of this shitty offensive line, what they did is that they picked up Ryan Bates to be able to be a cornerstone as a center for this team. With Tevin Jenkins and Braxton Jones and Nate Davis and Darnell Wright, the offensive line is not shitty. So, I mean, that's an old headline. That's great to say last year or 2 years ago. That's not the case this upcoming season because they added three offensive linemen.
Andrew, I would encourage you to live a little bit. Because, yeah, we can all wait until the Bears win the first 10 games and then get excited and say, oh, the Bears have arrived. I mean, what fun is that? You know, as a fan, live a little bit. Like, you see what the roster looks like. You know, whether you believe they'll be great or not, at least make a prediction. Project what you think this team will be. And then roll with that. Like, I believe they'll be great. So, if you believe we have a shitty offensive line or a shitty team, then say, hey, I think they'll suck. That's fine. I can honor that. But if you're telling us as fans, like, hey, wait until they play 5, 6, 7 games and then you decide what you think about the team. No, fuck that. I'm going to do that anyway. I'm going to do that anyway as a fan. But this is the offseason. This is the time to, you know, get excited about your team. Well, this is the time to look and like, hey, you know what? we had a shitty team, so we're not going to do much this year. You know, no, it, as a fan, I'm excited about what the future looks like. I'm excited about what the season is going to be. You don't have to be, but, you know, don't piss in my Kool-Aid. You know, like, don't piss in my Kool-Aid.
Listen, but anybody can fan how they want to fan. I have no problem with that. What I'm saying is that I know as a longtime Bears fan what it looked like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago as far as infrastructure and building toward a winner. All I can tell you is that this offseason is the busiest offseason I've ever seen with the Bears. Now, busy does not necessarily mean championships. I get that. But here's what you want. You expect for the Bears to go into the offseason and say, okay, here's some holes to fill. They need to fill them. And by the way, many years they did not fill them. We go into an offseason, you get two new wide receivers. You get four offensive linemen. You get a backup tight end. You get a cornerstone quarterback. You get a running game, in which I didn't think that the Bears needed to upgrade the running game. We talked about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm cool with Herbert. I'm good with Roschon Johnson. And then Paul's like, nah, I want a veteran in there. I want DeAndre Swift. When it comes to the defensive line, what you decide to do is, like, they still need to figure out what they want to do with the defensive line, because on the other side of Montez Sweat, that's still a problem. I want them to look at defensive tackle. They still need to address that. I want more of a pass rush. But then at free safety, they get Kevin Byard. And all the way to special teams, they said, you know what, Trenton Gill, you weren't very good last year. I'm bringing in Torrey Taylor. And so that's all you need to know. What they're doing is they're trying to make improvements with the roster. No one's giving them – no one's crowning them champion, but you have to give the Bears credit for the process. A totally different process than what we've seen in the past, unless you just got here. If you're a Bears fan this year for the first time, I get it. But for a guy who's been watching it for 30 years, I've never seen movement like this, and I think that's a good thing.
Hood, if you look at where we were 2 years ago when Ryan Poles came in and where we are now, it's like night and day. Like, if you can't see that as a Bears fan and be excited about this season and excited about the future, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I would tell you, you know, like I said, live a little bit. But if you need to wait until, you know, they've played 10 games to get excited, then, you know, do you. But I'm excited in the offseason. I'm excited about what we've put together. And within 2 years, we had a shit roster. We had no salary cap space. We had no draft capital. And within 2 years, we flipped that around, created salary cap space. We got studs at almost every level. And we still have draft picks next year. We didn't have first round picks when Poles came in. You know, like we've been trading those away like candy. Like, oh, you get a first round pick, you get a first round pick. And we get back, you know, bad talent. So I'm excited about what we've done. I'm excited about the future. Like I said, if you want to wait until we've played 10 games, you do you. But while you're waiting, don't piss in my Kool-Aid, because, you know, I like my Kool-Aid, you know, the way I like it, but I don't like added flavor of piss in there, you know. So
well, I'm glad to know that. I'm sure people in India also happy to hear that as well. They didn't have to do anything extra. So I would just say that it is a positive of a big way when you are upgrading the roster. Like, again, if you just got here and you're a Bears fan or been observing the Bears just from the last couple of years, then you don't know the history. And the history tells me that the Bears would make cursory moves here and there, but not go for it in free agency, not go for it in the draft. And I think that says a lot about what Ryan Poles is trying to do. It's a very difficult NFC North, Cuzzo, as you well know. Detroit is the class of the NFC North. Then there's the Packers, and then the Vikings are trying to figure out what they want to do with J.J. McCarthy, their new quarterback. So what I'm saying is that if you go from 3 wins to 7 wins, it's time to make an even further move. But everything is predicated on the offense with Caleb Williams, though, because I've made the comment even before we got to the draft, before free agent, I said, I watched Caleb Williams, and he was the most dynamic quarterback I saw in college. But there's always a learning curve for every rookie, everyone. I mean, C.J. Stroud is the anomaly, right? Houston Texans comes in, sets the world on fire. But that doesn't happen for everybody. And for Caleb Williams, hopefully that will happen for him, because, look, can make all the throws. We've heard that before. He can run with the football. And his excitement level is not cockiness. It's confidence. And he wants to be great. these young guys, these young people today, they're already paid. They were paid in college. They're probably paid in high school. They're paid AAU, whatever, right? Because all they want is legacy. They look at, like, the LeBrons and the Patrick Mahomes and athletes of that ilk, and they just want legacy. And that's what Caleb Williams wants with the Bears.
And I think a lot of times, as fans, we're afraid to get excited because we've been let down, especially as Bears fans, we've been let down a lot. So we live in fear of getting excited about a lot of things. And as one of the things Caleb said when doing his open press conferences, was like, I'm not ducking anything. It's like, I'm not ducking anything. And as a fan, I appreciate that because you don't want someone who's afraid of the moment. You don't want someone who's trying to find a way to, you know, ride the fence, you know, because as you said this morning, there can be, you know, there's a lot of chafing when you ride that fence, you know, that ass gets a little raw when you ride that fence. So, you know, hop off the fence, you know, pick a side, you know, live with it, fine, you know, but as a fan, there's no need to live in fear, you know, no need to live in fear of expectations because, you know, you're going to ride the roller coaster one way or another. We've all ridden the roller coaster of the Bears for, you know, most of our lives or all of our lives. So live a little bit, you know, get excited about this season if you're a Bears fan. Even if you didn't get all the draft picks you wanted, even if you don't have the quarterback you wanted, you know, it's still okay to get excited about this team and where we are, especially compared to where we were 2 years ago.
Yeah, you know, the idea that Jaden Daniels is a better quarterback than Caleb Williams, that's not, I mean, it's not about our board. It's not about our board. It's just not. It's about the Bears board. And with Ryan Poles, for him to have the balls to step to McCaskey and be like, yeah, your team's got some talent on it, but I don't want them because you're not winning with them. That was the bottom line. He's like, you know, you got veterans, but they're expensive and they're not winning. So we're going to start over and I'm going to build this through the draft. And I'm going to do something that we never seen before. Get two number one picks. Cuzzo, you're supposed to be ass bad. You're supposed to be like who Carolina is. You're supposed to be that bad to get two number one picks. That means you're supposed to win one game a season or two games a season or none, right? But the Bears were able to swing it twice. And again, that's good fortune. It's good fortune that they're able to do that. So, you know, again, Caleb Williams is the best quarterback in this draft. That's why he was taken at one. Roma Dunze is one of the best wide receivers that's available in the draft. He fell to him at 9. They got Amagaje, the offensive tackle from Yale. I think that's kind of a project, but ultimately you want to be able to address offensive line. You know, people keep telling me, like, no, Hood, Bates is the center. I'm like, okay, because that's important too now because I don't want Caleb Williams to get under center and then, like, it's a ground ball to short. I want him to be able to catch the fucking ball here. Like, just catch the ball.
Right.
Like, make sure it's sound, right? That center's got to be so important for the team. And so so that's really important. I think all Bears fans, you know, I hope all Bears fans can support what's happening with Ryan Poles. Not moving on. Not going to move on because I look at this Bears team, and again, haven't seen a depth chart like this before. The amount of movement, is different. Torrey Taylor, you mentioned that you like the pick of a Torrey Taylor. And so the notes on Torrey Taylor, first of all, before I even read, hey, man, he played for Iowa. He was the MVP for Iowa.
Yes.
Anyone watch Iowa football? They couldn't score.
Even if you didn't watch, if you were a gambler and you knew to bet the under when they played, like that's how it was. You knew when they were playing, bet the under. And they had a streak where, you know, they were covering the under every single time because they were not scoring, but they were good enough to keep you from scoring as well. And part of that was because he can kick the ball. They had a great special teams. It's crazy when you can say someone's special teams was the best part of their team. Like, you don't get that often, but it was the case where their cover team was great and their punter was great. So he was pinning teams within the 5 or 10 pretty much every drive and saying, offense, can you please score 3 points? If you score, give us 9, we'll win this game.
Torrey Taylor, 4,479 yards on 93 punts. He broke a record set in 1938. And the reason why he was chosen, they were like, Trent Gill, you didn't give us good field position. And I know in the glare of all of it, Cuzzo, like the defense wasn't good enough early. It got better late with Montez Sweat. The offensive line didn't hold up for Justin. Justin didn't have enough weapons, or Justin held on the ball too long, or whatever the hell. It was so many different things. We didn't get the special teams because it was just all, you know, underwhelming. But here the Bears looking at it as like, as we upgrade running back, as we upgrade wide receivers, we upgrade quarterback, at least supposedly, upgrade quarterback. You know what? We need better field position. And remember, Trent Gill was a seventh-round pick.
Yeah.
So they were like, ah. And so they're like, let's get the best punter available. Let's get Torrey Taylor, the Australian, and bring him in. I have no problem with that pick, especially if he's going to be and people do not understand how important special teams is, man. I mean, if you want to have the best in class as much as you can across the board, why wouldn't you have the best on special teams too if you can?
And here's the thing too, Hood. It was essentially a fifth-round pick. It was a late fourth-round pick, essentially a fifth-round pick. And you got a guy who is statistically the best in NCAA history. You know, and he's kicked in cold weather. He's done all the things you want him to do. And he has the swagger that you want in a guy like that. So that told me, when I saw that pick, that told me that Ryan Poles looked at this roster and he said, we're getting ready to enter championship mode. And when we get to the playoffs, field position is going to be a premium. We need a guy who has the ability to consistently pin teams deep in their own territory so our defense can get after them and give our offense a chance to get the ball back with great field position. And getting a guy like Torrey Taylor, who can kick the ball, you know, like I said, kick it a country mile, you know, it works for your team. It works for your team. And I think when we see him, you know, do what guys like Gill couldn't do and the guy who O'Donnell went to the Packers couldn't do, we're going to be excited. We're going to say, oh, wow, he pinned them at the two-yard line and our defense held or got a safety and our offense got the ball back and scored. That's a great fucking pick, you know, and it is. It will be. So I'm excited about this overall roster. And, you know, I think most Bears fans, even if you didn't get the guys, even if you – I saw that Andrew mentioned that Jaden Daniels was his preferred quarterback, and I know others preferred Justin Fields. It's mm-hmm. okay. You know, like, that's fine. But we don't have those guys now, so hop on board and, you know, and ride the train. Be excited about what we have. It's an improvement over what we've seen – in a very probably ever, but if not ever in a very long time, you know, especially offensively ever. Defensively, Austin, you got some more
Austin Booker Cuzzo is a defensive end from Kansas. He's gonna be 21 in December.
Yes.
So work in progress. He had 505 snaps in college. He led Kansas in sacks, tackles for a loss, and forced fumbles. He's 6'4", 253, and he's a 4'3 defensive end. So what I like about it is that here's a flyer you're taking from Kansas. Probably should have been drafted higher,
yeah.
But he falls in the fifth round, and it's kind of like, okay, we need help on the defensive line. And so I look at this depth chart here for the Chicago Bears, and Austin Booker's right after Montez Sweat on the left defensive end. He's second, so after Montez Sweat. I still think the Bears lack on the defensive tackle.
They'll spend on a free agent, you know, one of the veteran free agents or two, you know, to shore up the defensive line. But here's the thing, though, too, Hood. Like, when you look around NFL rosters, no one has a perfect roster. So if we're looking at wanting to have every position filled with a stud player, it's not going to happen. You're going to have some weak links in the chain, but it's about the collective. So can the collective, you know, be strong enough to hold up that weak link? And if it's maybe another edge or something else, you know, I think the team is strong enough to hold up. The offense is built to score points, and they're going to score a lot of points. So the defense can just pin their ears back and get the quarterback. And we haven't seen that hood since Rex Grossman played like an MVP for 5 games. And then he stopped playing football the rest of the season pretty much. So that was it. That's the only time I've seen the offense that was able to score points pretty much at will. And that ended quickly. It's like, oh, Rex is an MVP candidate. Oh, no. Rex is about to be out the lead next year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, that's it. Like, so we haven't, I don't think we would have seen an offense this as great as the team we're going to see next year ever. So, be excited. Be excited about this team, you know, and we're going to beat some Packer ass. We're going to beat some Viking ass, and I think we're going to compete with the Lions.
Oh, that's some strong words. Leave your comments, by the way. We start to wrap up this podcast. If you are watching, you haven't left a comment, please do so. Leave stars on Facebook as well. That just helps the algorithms. So thank you so much for checking out our podcast as Cuzzo Wiley makes it back from his vacation. CJ Taylor says he wants to know how was the vacation.
It was great. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I enjoyed soaking up, you know, the experience. Yes.
So taking a look now at the soaking up, you said soaking up the experience.
Okay. Yes.
Had to be some kind of tub involved. I don't know what that is. I don't know what happened there. Yeah. Go ahead. You were saying.
Oh yeah. So no, I'm.
What is wrong with you? What is that? Wait, huh? All right.
Just plowing right ahead, hood. Just plowing right ahead. Just...
Apparently, you did in India. You plowed right ahead. Go. Apparently, that's the case. Okay. But yeah, I really like what the Bears have done here. A couple other news and notes for you. First of all, you think in a 3-hour radio show that I would be able to get to all of this. But Candace Parker, my once crush, has retired from the WNBA. 3-time WNBA champion, one with the Sky. Of course, she helped bring a championship. The GOAT came here and brought a championship. 2-time MVP, 7-time All-Star, 2-time gold medalist, and it goes on and on and on. One of the first players to win, actually the first player to win WNBA championships with 3 different teams. She's now retired. You know, she had 10 foot surgeries. After a while, I mean, she's a basketball player.
Yes.
Naperville, and don't at me. I can't remember which high school. I think it was Naperville Central. Could be wrong. Where she played high school. But played high school in the Chicagoland area, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Played professionally in the WNBA, 3-time WNBA champion, 10 foot surgeries. And so she's retiring. I saw it on Instagram, and I'm just like, man, what I liked is that she came in here and she helped the Sky win a championship. And so now she's doing a great job on TNT. And you know what?
Looking good while doing it, too. Looking good while doing it.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Looking good while doing it. I've been a big fan for a long, long time.
As have I.
Yeah.
I was so, I felt like we all hit a shot when I saw her husband. I don't think it's her former husband, the one she had the kid, but I was like, oh, we all have a shot. I think it was Eric Williams or something like that. I know it's Williams. It's like, oh, we all have a shot. Like, we can all win.
What are you saying, man?
You know.
You're saying that he said anybody get a shot. Is that what you're saying?
He was an ugly dude. So
oh my God. When,
yes.
Is that what you're referring to right there?
Yes.
Okay, this man right here.
Scary.
That's her ex, man. You can't say that. Well, I guess you can. That's her ex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, that was it.
That's probably why she had to put surgeries.
Yeah. So yeah, all the best to her, by the way. Also, when it comes to the, Chicago Sky, while you're away, Cuzzo, You talk about a big splash that this guy was able to get. I mean, so because of that, because of the big splash they have by getting two picks in the top 10, you know what I did? You know what I did. I mean, now that there's even more star power with the Chicago Sky, I locked us in, man.
Let's go. Let's get it.
We are going to see the Sky. Got Sky tickets. How about that? There it is.
There we go.
Atlanta Dream.
We're turning it around as a city when it comes to sports. Not so much the White Sox and the Bulls, but you know, pretty much everywhere else we're turning around.
You mean Chicago as a whole? I mean, so like Bedard with the Blackhawks, and that team is going to grow.
Yeah,
you have two solid players now. Starting with Angel Reese, by the way. How about Angel Reese? Angel Reese is in our city. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Does that work for you?
That works right there.
I mean, star power from LSU played big games in college, and now she's part of the Chicago Sky. Think about it.
Yeah, that's a tree you climb right there.
What do you mean? I don't. You know, it's so funny. Let me just pull the curtain back just for a second. So this man tells me before we even hit record, "Hey Hood, you know, PG, gotta be PG." Like, okay, I mean, you can be PG. I don't have to be PG. It's the podcast. But here he is talking about climbing trees. Now, what are you saying, man?
You know, I'm just still a kid at heart, Hood. I just like to, you know, climb trees.
Okay. Never mind. Yeah. Never mind. Anyway, so Camilo Cardoso and Angel Reese are now part of this team. So I think that – so now we're talking about two, you know, rookies but difference makers for the Sky. So it's those two. It's like – the Cubs bringing up a P. Crow Armstrong. They got Bush over at first base. Don't make any comments. So we're talking about some youth there for that team. The Chicago White Sox, they're trying to figure out who they are and trying to figure out if they have some young players like Crochet that could be a starter for this team long haul, or will he be traded by the deadline? The point is, along with Caleb Williams and Roman Dunze and the other rookies, like, we're getting a renaissance now of young players trying to reimagine their franchise over the next 5+ years.
And I mean, it's a great time to be a fan. Great time to be a fan of a Chicago team.
That's right.
I'll still say minus the Sox, because I know we scored 21 runs in three games, but we had scored what, 56 runs in the previous 25 games? You know, so yeah, that's it's gonna be a painful season for the Sox. A really painful season for the Sox.
I mean,
I'm thinking, you know, maybe 110 losses.
Maybe like 100, somewhere in there, probably. But I guess the big question is, are we going to games this year? Do you feel up to knowing that the ball club is lousy? And they swept the Rays, and the Rays are the last place team in the American League East. It doesn't mean — they might be the last place team in the American League East. It's April. That doesn't mean anything. But what I'm saying is that it's April. It's May, June, July, August, September for the Sox. Like, that ain't getting better. Tampa being swept by the White Sox is surprising to me. Very surprising.
But you doubled your win total in a series. Hood. You doubled your win total for the season in a series. I mean, that's, you know, you're looking for a positive right there. So, old Pedro Grifol, you know, it's the Tommy Pham. You get Pham in there, and, you know, what is he batting, 357 right now? So when you look at the team overall, you have a roster, I believe, where no one on the roster who's played 13 games is batting 270. So when you can't hit as a team and you have a 5+ ERA as a staff, where I think, what is it, was Eric Fetta? It's like the only guy who doesn't have like a shit ERA as a starter.
Yeah. Fetty, yeah.
So like you're it's a struggle. But I think we knew that as fans. We should have known that. If you didn't, then I'm not sure what you were looking for. But as fans, you knew this was going to be a rebuild season, and Pedro Fall is here to take the beating. And then hopefully somewhere, you know, the last day of the season, he's shown the door, and you bring in a better manager. Even if I'm not sure if Ozzie's still interested at this point, because I'm sure by now he's like, hey, fuck this shit. You know, you keep hiring these bums when I told you I was interested before. And then you got Tony La Russa, what, as the consultant still now?
Still around the ball club. He's still around. Yeah.
So it's some tough days, but yeah, I'm still a fan. So I'm a fan of both Chicago baseball teams. I'm one of those people. But as a fan of both teams, I can say the fan experience at Comiskey is far greater than the fan experience at Wrigley, unless you're just going there to hunt. Now, if you're going to Wrigley to hunt, then it's a great place to hunt. But if you're not going to hunt and you're bringing kids there, then, you know, the fan experience at Comiskey is far better. So,
RIP to your mentions. All right. Saying that the Sox experience is better than the Cubs experience. As you just said. Just said that out loud.
Okay. Unless you're hunting. Like, if you're hunting and you're going to Wrigley to hunt, then, you know, it's just shooting fish in the barrel.
All right. So to be clear, you're still interested in going to Sox games. We're still going as a family, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you got to pick your games, Cuzzo. You're going to have to pick your games. I tell you one thing for sure.
Pick a
baseball section. Baseball might not be right. Might be great. Okay. But you know what? We're going to have good times either way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right. We'll take a look at the schedule. We're supposed to go to Milwaukee this year.
Yes.
You can't drive this year, though. I'll have to be the driver because I actually like to get home at some point. So we'll do that. Curtis Jackson weighs in. He says he wants to make sure that you have a drink for him. The Indian – hold that up, by the way, for our new viewers that just checked in. Yes. That's what you got from India, Royal Stag.
Yes.
You sure you didn't get that from the new Kenwood Liquors? Are you sure?
I'm sure of that. Here's the truth. Like, it's not really expensive at all. I believe it's like – in American dollars, it's like $8-$9 a bottle. So, yeah.
All right. E. King says defensive tackle Keith Randolph is coming in as a UDFA. He had a good year for Illinois playing the Senior Bowl. Yeah, I mean, it's players like that, especially if you evaluate them, you bring them in. One thing I haven't heard also from Houseall for a long time, a general manager saying it's going to be hard to make this team. What? Yes. Fuck, what?
Yes.
Man, I'm just telling you, the idea that same old from the Bears, because it's not the same. It's not the same. And it is all put together by the general manager.
This is not your Ryan Pace Bears right here.
It's not.
It's a different regime. And Ryan Poles has, within a couple years, elevated himself to the best general manager in Chicago.
Yes. All right, Cuzzo, do you have any final words before we wrap this up?
That is it.
Are you sure?
I am sure.
Shout out to the GOAT.
Yes.
Shout out to Candace Parker, who Wiley said everyone can get a shot. Thought everyone can get a shot. That's what he said.
Hood, you saw our husband. You saw our ex-husband. When you marry a guy that looks like that, we all – and he's not even rich. Like, if he was rich, I would understand that. We marry a guy like that who's not rich, we all have a shot. We all have a shot.
Yes.
So I'm excited.
All right. All right. And by the way, Sox fans, if you're watching, is it Josh Shrippen, the new voice of the White Sox? Southside, stand up!
Someone needs to rub her feet, Hood.
Okay, never mind. All right, it's time for Rocky as we take a look at the Bears front office. There you go. Bears front office for you.
Rocky.
All right.
Let's go. What do you think about the season, Ryan? What do you think about the season? Sit. Nope. Sit first. Maybe not. All right. Okay. What do you think about the season?
This is ridiculous.
13 games. 13 games.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Don't let him bite your hand. Oh, jeez.
13 games.
I think after a couple weeks away from Rocky, you have to retrain. I think he's not used to that discipline.
He wants some of that Indian hair.
I don't want to know about that. Okay. All right.
Fried chicken. He said, fried chicken, curry chicken. Damn, I'm getting fat. All right.